I hope that so far this morning, it's been a blessing and encouragement with you to connect through what we're doing in the service, to talk with each other and share online. It's great to see the conversation happening. Honestly, we're doing our best to try and create space for just connecting. And even when it's not specifically talking about Jesus stuff, you know, we're talking about movies. We're getting a chance to get to know each other a bit more and connect. And I hope that just boosts and encourages your heart and your spirit as we have this time together this morning. We've been exploring a few different images over the course of the last few weeks, a few different images that help us think about what it means to belong as a part of the family of God, the church. Specifically how that impacts how we think about belonging at Covenant Church. So far, we've used the images of the well, Jesus as the life source that's at the center of who we are. We've talked about family, with God as our Father, and the rest of us as equal brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've talked about the body, each of us as contributing members of this body that has Christ as the head. Today, we're looking at an agricultural image. It has a lot of imagery, a lot of power when we think about it. And I'm excited to dive into the metaphor that Jesus uses of the vine and the branches. We've got some vines up on our well now this morning, expanding the different images as we have them up here. Jesus uses this picture in John chapter 15. So I invite you to turn to John 15 in your Bibles or on your phones, your apps, whatever you're using to read Scripture. As you do that, just a reminder that if you have any questions, feel free to put them in the YouTube chat or text them to 249-201-9024. I'll respond to any of your questions and comments as we move through things today. But I also want to just let you know that we've had several prayer requests shared throughout the week. If you aren't on our email prayer list, you can send messages to prayer@covenantchurch.ca and we will share them with those who are on our prayer list. And if you want to be on that list and receive the prayers as they come in, just send a message to that prayer list and let us know that you'd like to be on it, and we'll be able to add you. This week, we've been praying for Susan Garrett and Mary Paye and Emily Queenan as they've each had surgery. And so far, the reports on each of them are good. We want to continue to pray for their recovery. We have some who our community is connected with who have been diagnosed with COVID-19. And we've been praying for Christine, a friend of Pauline's, who thankfully is recovering well. We give thanks for that. And Carrie has some friends, Julie and Ken, who are very much struggling with the effects of COVID. Ken was taken to the hospital, and Julie is struggling with it at home by herself. So we pray for them. Lisa, her friend Ken, has had his cancer return, is going to need surgery and chemo. And Jeanette's granddaughter, Jess, is having significant troubles with one of her eyes on top of some other chronic health physical struggles that she has. So I know I'm certain I'm probably neglecting something that came up this week, but I want you to be aware of these things so you can be praying for them. Before we read from John 15, let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you hear the cries of our heart. You know each one of these things that we have named. God, we thank you for where there is recovery and your healing is happening. God, where there is a weight and burden and a feeling of almost helplessness to not know what we can do, God, thank you that you are not helpless and you are active. You are active in encouraging hearts. You are active in healing. You are active in working things out, even the struggles, in ways that can help lead people more deeply into the life you long for them to live. God, I pray for those who are struggling with loss, and I think especially of some families in our community who have lost loved ones because of snowmobile accidents. May you comfort and help those who know them and love them to be able to come around and be your hands and feet of comfort in the time of loss. God, I thank you for all of the many good things that are happening, both the good reports in terms of successful surgeries, but just for a beautiful day, for the amazing work that teachers are doing to do stuff online, and parents are doing to do stuff online, and kids are doing to do their work online. And even though it sometimes feels completely overwhelming and not what we want, just thank you for the work that is happening and for their persistence and the love that is shown as the people continue to connect. God, I thank you that your love is not bound up by physical spaces. You definitely embody those spaces, and they're great opportunities to show your love, but your love transcends them. So I ask that you would help us to remember that we would know your love, and that we would seek creative and vibrant ways to show that and share that with each other and with those in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read together from John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. These are Jesus' words. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other." I love this image because much like the image of the family and the body, it's an organic image. The very essence of the image reminds us that the people of God in community are not an institution. We're not meant to be a religious organization. We embody a living and breathing reality. And some of what it means to be captured in this image helps that really to come to life. You know, we are a branch or branches connected to the life-giving vine who is Jesus. I just want to point out, when he's talking to them, he's talking about you, and you is both a singular and a plural. He's actually using a plural context here. He says, you will be my disciples. You, singular or plural, will be my disciples as you do this. So this is very much not just an individual image. It's a corporate image with some significant individual implications. So it kind of works at both levels, but we don't want that collective thing to be lost. So just a few quick things I want to highlight as we think about what this image shows us about who we are and how we exist and how we belong as a people of God, as a family, as this branch connected to the vine. And the first is that there is, with the branch, there's a constant connection between the branches and the vine. You know, the words here, remain, that's like, in the King James Version, it's abide. It's like they're saying, live here. Live with this connection. Jesus is to be the place where we find our life source, our connection. That's how we access the roots system, if you will, and all that will give us life. Colossians 3 uses a similar kind of language when it says, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Describes Christ as our life. This is what this is talking about. We are connected to the one through whom we have life. For us to get cut off from Jesus, to be cut off from the only thing that is offering true and abundant life. And it seems like it's so obvious, you know, but it's easy for church communities to get distracted by other things and to begin to chase after other things and lose connection from the Father. You know, the Apostle John, when he wrote his book of Revelation, just talked to one church about, you know, you've lost your first love. They'd gotten disconnected from the life source. Some of the things that churches can tend to chase after and get distracted by is thinking about, you know, what's the coolest new thing, or what's the most, catchword in churches, relevant. Or another thing would be the opposite. Well, what have we always done before? And we chase after just being like what we've done in the past. Or we could think about, well, what will other churches in town think of us if? Or the opposite. What will people not connected to the church think of us if? Sometimes when we're making decisions, we might get distracted by, you know, what's going to not upset people? What's going to not tip over the apple cart too much and get people mad at us? Or if we're struggling financially, it can be easy to say, well, what's going to help us increase our offerings? Or even, well, what will make us most comfortable? I want to say there's always a place for those types of things to be considered, but they always have to be considered within the context of being deeply connected to the life source of Jesus. And too often they become distractions rather than things that help us take that connection and bear fruit well. We have to remain consistently connected to the life source of Jesus. That can never get lost, to never get hidden. A second thing in here, beside this constant word, remain, live in me, stay connected to me, is that when you think about a vine and branches, when you think about this organic life image, is that growth is expected. Growth is expected. As a church, we expect to grow. We expect to not be the same in the future as we are today. In fact, there's no such thing as staying the same. It's either you're going to grow or you're going to be dying. Growth in the context of a fruit-bearing vine. So in this context, the image would be grapes. You know, growth does not necessarily mean growing in size. In the way of Jesus, it more often means growing in health or growing in maturity, growing stronger in our ability to bear fruit. Some of us may have some vines on our house or vines on fences around us, and it doesn't take long to figure out that a vine can grow wildly without bearing any healthy fruit. This is true of us as a church, it's true for us as individuals, that we can grow a lot, but that growth may not be healthy. We expect and we anticipate growth as a church, but it's essential for us to lean into growth that is healthy. To lean into growth that isn't about being, you know, looking impressive or dramatic or instant. It's about what will help us bear good fruit. As in, what we have to ask God, you know, what are you leading us into that will help us live out the way of Jesus better? That will help us embody Jesus' ways of being in the world. That leads us into thinking about how healthy vines actually grow. There's a couple of things that get used to help vines grow well. The first is training. Training, that is when a fruit is being lifted up and fostered. So many of us have seen the image of a trellis, that if the vines just grow on the ground, they aren't going to bear a lot of fruit. And so they get trained or brought through this trellis so they can grow up and get the most sunlight and get the most ability to grow. The second thing is pruning. Pruning is cutting off or cutting back in order to maximize the fruit bearing. And in Jesus' day, they did two different, and in his location, they did two different kinds of pruning. One was the spring pruning. They would trim the tips of the vines to prevent things from growing too rapidly. They would cut back shoots that were growing strong because if they grew out too much, they would get damaged by the wind and the elements. And so they would cut them back so that they wouldn't be damaged by the elements. They would focus growth on limited areas, because the more things were growing, the less any one of those things would get what it needed to really be strong and healthy. So it would be focused growth into limited areas. And then they would cut off the things that would prevent them from bearing good fruit. So the things that weren't bearing fruit anymore, that were just kind of growing extra, they would trim those off so that the areas that they wanted to bear fruit would be the healthiest. That was the spring pruning. In autumn, they would do other pruning after the harvest. They would remove what was old, the things that maybe it had borne fruit in the past, but it wasn't going to be fruitful in the future. So they would trim that away. And then they would trim the things that they wanted to produce good fruit the following year so that it would be healthy. This training, guiding things in the right direction, and pruning, cutting things back so that the right areas can grow fruit, were both necessary for these vines to thrive. Growth, also another thing when we think about growth, is that growth happens through seasons. The seasons in Jesus' day were largely centered around kind of the rainy season and the dry season, or the drought. The seasons for us are largely centered around kind of the heat and summer and the cold, dry of winter. Either way, connection to the vine is essential for surviving during the dry times and thriving in the fruit-bearing times. You know, sometimes when we think about growth, we think of it almost in like stock market terms, where everything is going up, 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 up all the time. But in the organic sense, that's not how growth happens. Growth happens with things growing and being pruned so they can stay healthy, and growing and then being cut back so they can be healthy. I worked at a nursery for a couple of months, a garden nursery, when I was in college. I did not do very well, but one of the things we did every day was we walked through the whole nursery to pull off the things that were dying and brown so that the rest of it could grow and thrive. That's part of the cycle of growth. And then seasons, this cycle of growth. Rather than being up, 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 true health comes through these cycles where we can thrive and be vibrant. That's important for us as a church to remember, that we aren't always chasing bigger and better. We're chasing healthier and more like Jesus. As you think about growth being expected, that leads us to another thing that is hard to think about. But growth requires change. It requires change as a church, change for us as individuals, change in our attitudes, our convictions, our behaviors, our habits. As we grow more in the way of Jesus, these things should be changing, deepening, refining, transforming. The more we stay connected in Jesus, we should expect to see change. We can't grow and stay the same. Change is built into living the way of Jesus. When we think about belonging, it's important to recognize that as a church, as a family, as a body, we are or should be constantly changing. I know for some of us, especially some within churches, this can be a really hard thing. And we join a church because we're comfortable. We like the way it is. We like the building, you know, or at least we know the building. We know the structure. We know the people. We know the songs. And I don't want to demean any of those things from our past, because those things have been really important to us on our spiritual journey. And some of us have invested hundreds of hours or thousands of hours into getting things to where they are today, and we want to protect that. But the more we try and protect it and keep it the way it is, the less we are open to growing and becoming what God wants us to be. I understand the deep attachments to the way things are or the way things were, but they aren't the things that give us life. They've been things that have helped us receive life in the past. They've been used by God as conduits for the life he offers, but they are not the source of life. He is the one we are to remain connected to. And as long as the changes we engage in are focused on keeping us connected to Jesus, who is our life source, and he is the one who will help us bear fruit, the changes should be embraced. You know, here at Covenant, we don't look the same as we did 40 years ago. due to circumstances beyond our control, we don't look the same as we did 1 year ago. In fact, the changes from 1 year ago to today have probably been as dramatic from the previous 39 years. But we're still connected to the same life source. As we look to the future, we shouldn't look the same 1 year from now as we do today. And we shouldn't look the same 1 year from now as we did a year ago. We aren't trying to go back to what was. We are trying to figure out how can we stay connected to Jesus, lean into him, and let him guide us in changing in ways that are rooted to him. Now, this doesn't mean that change is going to be easy. It's easy to say embrace change. Actually, changing is not always easy. Sometimes change requires us to take an honest, hard look at some areas where we haven't been healthiest in the past. Oh, we've been comfortable and we've loved it, but maybe it hasn't been the healthiest. That kind of vulnerability and honesty is hard, but it can be done well if we remain rooted in Christ. Because as long as we're connected to him, our identity is not in having got things perfect in the past. Because our identity is in him, and we're rooted in him, we're connected to him, we can take that step back and acknowledge where things need to be corrected. And it's not a negative thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a pruning thing. You know, we could only do what we did then based on the knowledge and experience we had at the time. The goal is never to demean the past, but to open ourselves to growth and change in the present and the future in ways that will help us bear fruit. The biblical word for seeing where we've been off and changing course as we move forward is repentance. And it's always presented as a beautiful and positive thing in the scripture, even though it's not an easy thing. The idea that growth brings change in us is essential for us as individuals to think about too. We can't claim to be connected to Jesus and growing in Jesus without that connection bringing changes in us. This week, I read about a conversation that Philip Yancey recounted. In the conversation, a woman shared about, first of all, she was preparing to leave her husband. The conversation didn't say why. But then she claimed to be a committed Christian with a deep devotional life. In the conversation, she shared about spending an hour with her father, who is God, one morning. Hearing, you know, she's preparing to leave her husband, how much committed she is to God, her time with her father. She was asked, you know, what does your father, God, think about you leaving your husband? And she said, the father and I are into relationship, not morality. Relationship means being wholly supportive and standing alongside me, not judging. Now, regardless of the situation, the point of the story is it's a misunderstanding of what relationship connected to God is supposed to be about. This woman's response is indicative of many of us, though. We want comfort, not challenge. We want encouragement, not pruning that's necessary for health. We want affirmation, not expectations. As a result, our lives may grow, but they grow into an untangled, unhealthy mess. To use the vine analogy, it ends up spreading all over everything, but no good fruit is being produced. If you claim to be growing in Jesus, but have the same relationship with your money as you did 5 years ago, it would seem that you may not understand what growth is. The same is true of all kinds of things: our relationship to our spouse, our children, our time, our entertainment, our engagement with economic and social practices, even our relationship with the church. These things should be growing and deepening and changing as we grow in the way of Jesus. And I know it's popular for us to say things like, it's about a relationship, not religion, or it's about relationship, not rules, to which I say, absolutely. But a healthy relationship with the one who is perfect love, It must, over time, change us. If we are unchanged in a relationship, I wonder if there's been a relationship there at all. So this way of Jesus that's living in him, this picture of the vine and the branches, it gets us thinking about the fact that there has to be this constant connection we maintain. Growth is expected. That indicates change. But it leads in this passage to, well, a summary that we come back to all the time. The life that flows through the branches is going to be the same life that flows through the vine. Our life together and our individual lives, therefore, if we're connected to Jesus, they're going to show his love. We're going to have a life marked by and demonstrating love if we are living this way out. And there's a few things about this love that I think are interesting to note. First is that it's an obedient love. We see this in verse 10. You know, not an obedience that comes from fear, not an obedience that comes from guilt, not an obedience that comes from obligation, rather an obedience that flows out of God's love for us and the knowledge that what he's inviting us into is, it fills us with life and joy and peace, and so we want to go into that. It's an obedient love. It's also it's a sacrificial love. A life marked by love is a life that's not lived for our own benefit. Looking back before time, God's life in Trinity was complete. Father, Son, Spirit moving together in this perfect unity. However, because God's essence is love, God was moved to create the world and embrace humanity as a unique recipient of that love. And we were welcomed into it. We were welcomed into his life. The picture in Genesis 1 is of God creating humanity and breathing life into us, bringing us into that life-giving source. Our life, our health, our vibrancy comes as a gift from God. That idea is picked up in the New Testament with the new creation that Jesus offers. Our new life is animated by Christ. And I love how when he's preparing to send out the disciples in John 20, 21 and 22, he's resurrected, they're all hiding, they're scared, nothing is new for them, they're just scared, and he shows up. And he echoes back to the original creation, and he breathes his breath on them, his spirit, and says, "My peace I give you." And he breathes his life into them. Because of love, God chose to posture himself towards us. Not because he had to, but because he loves us. It was for our good. With this metaphor of the vine and branches, we're reminded that when we have this kind of love coming into us, we then adopt the same posture towards others, where we're living for their good. It's an obedient love. It's a sacrificial love. But in verses 15 and 16, we see that it's a secure love. We are his friends. He chose us. The life of obedience and sacrificial love is offered to us as a life of freedom because we enter it not with weight or obligation. We don't need to earn love. In fact, we can't earn the love because God's already giving it to us fully. He chose us and we're secure in him and his perfect love. And the last thing, when you get into verses 16 and 17, we see that this is a fruit-bearing love. In Christ, this love shows up in real and tangible ways, in lasting fruit. This lasting fruit is important. The point of this is that it's going to show up in ways that make a lasting difference. This isn't about chasing quick fixes or short-term solutions. It's about loving for the long haul. And I think this is one of the things that makes loving like Jesus so hard. You know, in my own strength, I can do a good thing or two. I can offer a hand, give a donation, help out on a Sunday. Participating in things with a long-term view in mind is a lot harder. It's something that we can't do in our own strength because at some point we will get exhausted and not be able to keep going. It requires a constant flow of life source from the vine if we're going to bear lasting fruit. This, of course, leads to a deep sense of humility because we recognize that the fruit that we do end up bearing is not because of our own giftedness and strength. It comes from God. Vine and the branches. This beautiful image, it describes our life together and helps us think about how we live our own lives too. We are to remain constantly connected to Jesus, expecting growth, moving through change, and moving more deeply into a life marked by love. Obedient, sacrificial, secure, and fruit-bearing love. So where do we go from here? As I think about us as a community, there's challenges in each of these areas. The first is that we as a church need to maintain practices that keep us connected to Jesus. You know, we practice connecting each week and with Jesus at regular intervals throughout the week. We need to remember that the church life is not primarily, it's not just, you know, Sunday does not equal church. I guess that's the best way to put it. Sunday does not equal church. The church is us together as we move through life together throughout the week. And so take the chance as we connect with each other, to connect with each other. Phone calls, texting with one or two others that we share this journey with. Use things in our family connections, in our family times. Maintain group connections, whether it be Bible study or youth groups or ministry teams or house churches. We have to stay connected throughout the week as we connect together with Jesus. Another one for us as we think about connecting with Jesus is, you know, when we as a congregation or board or various ministry teams are making decisions, we have to practice reflecting on what is really guiding us. Are we being driven by connecting with Jesus and remaining connected with Him, or are we getting distracted by all kinds of other things? A second thing for us as a church is we need to embrace healthy growth and the change that comes with it. Regularly and prayerfully asking God, you know, what do we need? What practices do we need to adopt so we can be trained up and be strong? And we need to regularly and prayerfully ask God, okay, where are you pruning? What needs to be pruned? What do we need to let go of so that we can bear good fruit in the right areas? The third thing is we need to be constantly pursuing living out this obedient, sacrificial, secure, fruit-bearing love. Are we willing to do the hard things of obedience and sacrifice for others? Find rest and joy in our security with Christ? Are we willing to open-handedly pass this love forward in our world? Those are the things we need to focus on together. But there are challenges that exist for each of us as individuals too. So I want to just humbly offer three quick homework options if you're sitting there saying, yeah, I maybe need to do something more here. First thought for you. Remain. Why don't you spend a short time each morning, each afternoon, and each evening, three times a day, consciously reminding yourself of your connection with Jesus? You know, perhaps you can set like a phone timer for three times a day to pause, just take a few deep breaths, and pray something as simple as this. You know, thank you, Father, for offering me life through Jesus. Help me to remain connected with you through the remainder of this day. Fill me with your love. Train me and prune me as you see fit to help me grow in your way. Change my heart and my life as I learn to love. Just doing that three times a day, just to pause and recenter and stay reconnect with Jesus, remaining with him will be something that may help you on this journey. Maybe you do okay at remaining, but change is a little harder for you. I suggest that maybe one of the things you can do is one time this week, find a quiet place and sit with God, your pen, and a journal. And in that quietness, simply ask God, you know, is there an area of my life that I need to allow you to prune? A behavior, a habit, an attitude, something that I need to allow you to prune, something that I need to change with your help. And allow him to speak to you. Listen to him. Let him guide you in this. Third homework option would just be around the area of love. You know, holding on securely in the love of the one who embraces you as a friend and a brother, reach out with one act of sacrificial love this week. It could be a phone call to someone who may be lonely, even when you don't feel like making the phone call. It could be, you know, offering an apology to somebody that you have wronged. They may not even know that you've wronged them because you've said it to somebody else, but offering an apology. It could be providing a meal for someone who God lays on your heart. It could be offering grace in response to an unkind word or something that's been said to you. It could be as something as simple as making an extra donation to our community care fund so that we have the resources to show compassion to people in our church community. The number of ways that we can show sacrificial love are as unique as you are. But when I think about the number of people who are engaging on this, you know, we could have up to 150 people watching and listening to this, maybe a bit more. If each one of us found a way to extend God's sacrificial love this week, it would make a significant impact in our community, even if we can't see that impact. Remember, it's not about receiving credit or seeing immediate results. It's about living Jesus' way of love in a way that will bear lasting fruit. Now, that's what this metaphor reminds us, that we should, reminds us that it should be true about us as a church and about our lives individually, that as we remain deeply connected to Jesus, receiving from him, growing healthy and changing in ways that align with him, we will learn together to live lives marked by obedient, sacrificial, and fruit-bearing love. That's what it's about. This is my command. Love one another.